Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace at this time. Father Yahweh, again, we come before you thanking and praising your name for another opportunity to come before you. We ask, Father, that your word would be truly on our hearts this morning, that you would bless us, that your word would have free course in us, that it would change us, Father, for the better. As we seek to follow you, Father, as we seek to be more like Yahshua the Messiah, we know that the Word has power and it has life. And we gain more life and more of your Holy Spirit through hearing your Word and applying it to our lives. So at this time, Father, we ask that you would open us up to receive this Word, that you would cause us to be changed, that you would cause us to be more like Yahshua as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we may have committed, and cleanse us through the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We know, Father, that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns, and we ask, Father, that you would use us, for your honor and for your glory, that you would bless us, that we would be a blessing to you, and that you would help us, Father, so that we would help many others come to the knowledge of the truth. We thank you again, Father, for bringing us to this place so that we would be able to keep your commandment, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles with love, rejoicing with brethren of like precious faith. We thank you again, Father, and ask that your will would be done in our lives and that you would help us to reach out and touch others so that they would turn and worship you and join, Father, in trying to help bring about a restoration of your people in these last days. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. All children, no matter what their situation, are looking for love. I'm going to repeat that. It says, all children, no matter what their situation, are looking for love. Whether they come from homes and mansions, whether they come from the poorest homes, whether they're in orphanages, wherever they might be, they're looking for love. They look for family, and they look for understanding. When they act out, they do so because they want to know that there are rules that apply to them. See? Children need structure. They need to know that there are boundaries. Therefore, Yahweh has given us his commandments because we're his children. Children want attention whether it's positive or negative. If they don't get it in a positive way, they're going to seek it out negatively because they want that attention. They understand that rules exist because we love them. Parents have rules for their children because they love them. Yahweh has rules for his children because he loves us. This message is entitled Peaceable Fruit. Peaceable Fruit. We're going to start Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1, it says, therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Yahshua, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the torture stake, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. For consider him that endured such opposition of sinners against himself, that you do not become weary, fainting in your souls. In other words, Yahshua went through so much for us, we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't lose our faith because of the trials and tribulations that we have to go through. And most sinners don't really know or realize that they're in opposition to themselves. They don't know that they don't know. They think they're all right. Most people think they are all right, you know, based on the knowledge that they have. Most of them believe that, you know, my mama was raised this way. So if it's good enough for mama, it's good enough for me. But you know what? Mama may not have had as much understanding or may not have had as much of the knowledge of Yahweh as you have, because Yahweh's revealed more to you. Because it says in the last days, what's going to happen? Knowledge is going to be increased. Okay? And we can see that. We know that. My dad grew up in an age where there were horse and buggies. He saw it go from horse and buggies to jet planes. So you can understand the reservation of some of the older folk about getting on a jet plane. See? Life was a lot slower then. Now everything is fast. You know, everything's moving. We got to have the fastest 4G, 5G. We got to have the fast, the fastest. Okay? But that doesn't always mean it's better because it's faster. Peaceable fruit is the title. Sometimes it takes time to develop. So you can't rush certain things. It says, verse 3 again, for consider him that endured such opposition of sinners against himself that you do not become weary, fainting in your soul. You have not resisted to blood, striving against sin, like Yahshua did. And you have forgotten the exhortation which reasons with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of Yahweh. If Yahweh is trying to correct you, there's a reason for it. He's telling you that he loves you. Nor faint when you are reproved of him. For whom Yahweh loves, he corrects, and scourges every son with whom he receives. It is for chastening that you endure. Yahweh deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not correct? And I'm telling you, so there was a bunch of us growing up. There was seven of us in my family, seven kids. And we lost my older sister when we were much younger. And what happened was, my older brother was one that was out. He liked to go out, you know, in the neighborhood. You know, he was, well, popular, you know. And I kind of stayed around the house a lot, helped my mom with the kids, a bunch of us. And she needed help. So that was something that I chose to do. But I saw with my family a lot of correction. My dad worked hard. It was rarely was there a sighting. My job was to wake him up when it's time. I was his alarm clock. I woke him up from the time to get ready to go to work. And, you know, normally when he came back in, we were all in the bed asleep. And that's what I'm saying. He was working early. He left early, came back late, you know. Sometimes he got there early enough to have dinner. Yeah. But normally we had already eaten. So it may have been, say, 8 in the evening, we ate at 6 or whatever. And that would have been an early day for him. Because he worked 2 jobs. You know? And it was, like I said, a lot of us, but we thought we were rich. Because, you know, I mean, we didn't see him often, but mom was always there. And we had a 2-parent household and, you know, had a house. We kept it clean. Like Christina said, I mean, you know, you just make sure whatever you had was your best. It was ironed. It was sharp. I mean, you went to church or whatever, school. We went to school clean, you know. And people may have thought that we had because, you know, we didn't tell them we didn't. You know, and my dad had a good job and whatnot. He worked at the steel mill, and which was a good job in those days for a lot of people, a lot of families. But the thing was that when we got out of line, we were corrected. And we appreciated that correction, even though at that time it didn't feel like it was appreciative because you were getting your butt wet. But you know what? You learned from that. You learn from that. And that's the kind of correction God has given us. And he's telling us not to regard it lightly. See? We should take it seriously, that correction that Yahweh has given us. So, young people, when your parents are telling you to do something, it's for your benefit. It's not to hurt you. It's to make you a better person. So down in the future, when you're looking back, you say, well, man, I'm glad I listened to my mom or I listened to my dad because, see, my life is so much better than it probably would have ended up. Because there are a lot of people right today who are in jail who are living in a 5x7, and I'm talking about almost 24/7 of their life because they made a mistake, okay? And they made the mistake to hang out with the wrong people. And it can happen on any level. It doesn't have to be just out there in the streets. Even when we go to college. I mean, I joined a fraternity. You know, it wasn't just a party. I mean, we had our fraternity was actually doing something in the community. It was positive. And this is the reason I joined that fraternity. But it was just another gang, if you want to look at it that way. You know, I mean, not that everything they did was good. I mean, it was organized to do good things, and I know the Deltas do good things, the, you know, Zetas and some of the other Alphas, AKAs. I mean, they have their little things, and they do raise money for charities and stuff like that, but it's still, you have to look at why people join these groups and organizations. A lot of it's because they came from homes that they felt lacking, and they wanted to belong. They wanted to belong. Something. See? We do belong to something. We belong to Yahweh's people. See? And we're trying to keep his covenant, which places us above the rest of the people who are rejecting that covenant. See, but when people don't see that, they go out and seek people who are like-minded or who wants to do something, you know, get in trouble or whatever. And that's what happens when kids are left to themselves without someone to correct them. They end up going in the wrong direction. You don't see, very seldom, if ever, will you see a group of young people come together and form a positive group. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying very seldom would you ever see that happen. And when it comes to fruit, and this is what our children are. They're fruit. We want peaceable fruit. We want people to understand that Yahweh is the only one of peace, not of confusion. And he's trying to bring along these people so that they can be used for his honor and glory. Okay? And that's hard for young people to do. It's hard for them to put themselves second, which means they would have to put Yahweh first. There's some that will put their parents above their, you know, first. Some kids will put their parents above themselves. Very few, but there are some. Okay? It says here in verse 7, it is for chastening that you endure, Yahweh, deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not correct? But if you are without chastening, of which all have been made partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had the fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chasten us as it seems good to them, but he for profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. So the fathers of this world, you know, they do chasten us until we're old enough, and we get to the age of accountability, and then we go out on our own. But Yahweh's doing it so that you can partake of his holiness. All chastening seems for this present to be not joyous, but grievous. Yet afterward it yields peaceable fruit. This is where I got the title from, peaceable fruit. To them that have been exercised by it, even the fruit of righteousness. And that is fruit, brethren. When you look at two children that grow up next to each other, and one goes in one direction and one goes in the other, the one seeks the righteousness of Yahweh and one goes after Satan the devil. Think about it. It happens all the time. They're raised in the same house. What happened to the one? You know? Did mother and father show more favoritism to the one than the other? Very seldom does that happen. I mean, it does happen. But guess what? The children themselves have to make a choice. When they get to that age of accountability, they have to be able to go in one direction or the other. Therefore, in verse 12, lift up the hands that hang down and the palsied knees and make straight paths for your feet, that that which is lame be not turned out of the way, but rather be healed. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see Yahweh, looking carefully lest any man fall short of the grace of Yahweh, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and by it many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, and he found no place for a change of heart, change of mind in his father, though he sought it diligently with tears. And he did. He cried, and you know, but he had already given it up because he was hungry. But it was more than that. That was just a sign, see? He was hungry. So he's going to sell his birthright to his brother. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1. Says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will they add to you. Commandments will add peace to your life. Let kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, brethren, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And if we're acknowledging Yahweh in all our ways, that means we're keeping his covenant. We're keeping his commandments, see, because that's the way of Yahweh. That's what he's revealed to us. That's what he's given us as our heritage, the blessing. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. And that's the problem with our youth today. They know it all. Yeah, they know very little. And I'm talking about even from a young age. They can be 2 years old, and you tell them, oh, no. You know, a lot of them want to reject it. And we know twos, they call it the terrible twos. Because they get feisty. But they're toddlers. They have no experience. Yet when they get up to the age of college and they're sophomores, they know it all as well. They go through several of these revelations in their growth spurts that, you know, I think it happens when they get to the age of, and the Jews have bar mitzvah, 12 or 13, when they get to that, when they consider them puberty, when they, you know, moving on, and they get to that point where they, girls seem to be a little humbler than the boys, but they start to puff. But a young man at 18, man, if you haven't had one yet, I'm telling you, when they get to that point, they do think they know it all. They're a man. They're 18. They know everything, and they can do everything. They tell you some things, you know. Little do they know that they have no experience until they have to get out there and they start working on their own. And once they get their job, you know, then they start to realize that life is not, I mean, not what they thought it was. Oh, so they're going to do all this. They're going to be rich. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. But when they go work their first 40 hours, they come home and, man, they ready to quit knowing that after the first couple of days. But the ones that hang into it learn some work ethic. And they learn that, you know what, it's better to earn it. I mean, yes, they love to have people give them things, but when you go out and earn it, it's yours. And it makes you appreciate things a little bit more. See? And this is what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to appreciate what he has done for us and given us Yahshua the Messiah. See? That's very important. And it's hard for a lot of our young people to see it because they haven't sacrificed much themselves in their own lives. And the reason I'm saying is there's some kids that grow up and they may have a sibling that is special needs or have been in an accident so that they had to give some extra special help at home and they can appreciate life a little bit better. See, those kids are rare, but they're out there, okay? But Yahweh wants each and every one of us to be not wise in our own eyes, but to fear Yahweh and to depart from evil. See? He didn't want us to know evil, but Satan introduced it to Eve, and she, you know, brought it to mankind, and we all have it now. We know good and evil. Okay? In verse 8 it says, it will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. It's going to be the stuff that, the substance that makes you who you are. And we're talking about the covenant. Acknowledging Yahweh, you know, learning of him. Because if we have the knowledge of Yahweh, it's going to be health to us. It's going to be what directs us in our lives. It says, honor Yahweh with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. This is our 10%. This is us giving of the first fruits to Yahweh. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats shall overflow with new wine. He's telling us that if we do this, then we're going to be blessed. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh. Don't despise his correction, neither be weary of his reproof. For whom Yahweh loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. If you have a son that you don't care about, are you going to correct him? A lot of them, they're not going to waste time with him. But Yahweh loves us. This is why he corrects us. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. And the man who gets understanding for the gaining of it is better than of the gaining of silver, and the profit of it than of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and none of the things you can desire to be compared to her. Nothing you can compare out here in the world. There's nothing out there you can compare to the wisdom of Yahweh. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retains her. Yahweh by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the skies dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then shall you walk in your way securely, and your foot shall not stumble, because you're walking in the way of Yahweh. You're going in the direction of the kingdom. Verse 24, when you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. If you're troubled in your life, it's hard sleeping. Unless you get yourself drunk to the point that you're just unconscious. Then you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening to you. And that's what a lot of people have to get through sleep. I mean, to get some sleep because their lives are so troubled. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For Yahweh will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being taken. Yahweh's going to keep your foot from being taken. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace to your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, consent not. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. They want you to join their gang. Come. They're hanging out on the corner. Hey, young fella, come here. Hang out with us. See? They want you to be a part. And they said, we're going to rob this person coming in here. We're going to take care of this. They've had that going on in Lancaster, up where we live. Gang of kids walking around, robbing people, knocking them over, taking their purses and stuff like that. And guess what happens? They end up in jail. Juvenile detention. So they're starting their life off on the wrong foot. I'm sure their parents didn't raise them to say, hey, go out here and bring me back some money. Go rob somebody. Go rob the corner store. Verse 12, it says, let us swallow them up alive as Sheol and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. Oh, we're going to get our money. We shall fill our houses with plunder, with the things that we've stolen. You shall cast your lot among us, and we will all have one purse. See, we're going to share all of this booty. all this money that we got from robbing these people or selling these drugs or doing this that's wrong. And see, what happens with a lot of gangs is that they become the families of these kids that aren't getting this love at home. Like I said in the beginning, the kids, they're looking for family, and they look for understanding, and they act out. They do so because they want to know that there are rules that apply to them. And that's in the family, okay? But when they don't have that structure, when they don't have what they need at home, they're going to go find it elsewhere. And that's why they're going to go hang out with Jimmy on the corner. Yahweh says in verse 15, my son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. See, this is where do unto others as you would have them do unto you should apply, but it doesn't. You know, I know Mrs. Walker had said it about when she was younger, you didn't have a lot of black-on-black crime. It was almost unheard of. You'd go through any black community, and you had people speaking to you, and it didn't matter who you were. You could be a Jew. You could be Oriental, I mean Asian, whatever. But now it doesn't matter. You can go through our communities, and you're fair game, whether you're old, young, blind, crippled, crazy, whatever. They don't mess with crazy people as much, but, you know, the key is it seems that the fear of Yahweh is gone in the world. People don't fear Yahweh. We know they don't fear the police, but they really don't fear Yahweh, even the police. They don't fear Yahweh. See? And they will take advantage of anybody, you know, because they don't fear the reprisal from on high. And that's what has to happen. Again, people have to know that Yahweh is still there. And we and our families, and this is how we're going to yield peaceable fruit. And our kids are going to see that because, you know, they look at our lives. They look at us for examples. They do. And that's why we have to do the right thing. We have to walk in the law of Yahweh. We have to give them a good example. Now, can we blame it on drugs? Yes, drugs are a blight on our society. Okay? But the desire has to be for the word of Yahweh more so than for that drug. The word of Yahweh can change any sinner into a saint. It can cleanse anybody's life. And I preached a message a while back about Teen Challenge and how their success rate is greater than any other of the rehab centers because they replace it with religion. You know, they get them believing, and therefore they lose that habit. I'm not saying that the people don't relapse, but their percentage rates are higher than any other rehab in the country. Verse 17, it says, for in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird, and these lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. It takes away the life of the owners of it. See, when they're out there trying to, you know, take advantage of other people, it's coming back to them. When you dig that pit, you're going to fall in it. When you roll that stone, it's going to roll back on you. So we're not just talking about where the sinners refers to the gangs and the thugs. Yahweh tells you not to run with them. Malachi chapter 1. Yahweh is looking to yield some peaceable fruit. And that fruit is going to be a righteous group of people who are seeking to serve Almighty Yahweh at all times. Malachi 1, let's start in verse 2. It says, I have loved you, says Yahweh. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says Yahweh? Yet I loved Jacob, but Esau I hated, and made his mountains a desolation, and gave his heritage to the jackals of the wilderness. Whereas Edom says, we are beaten down, but we will return and build the waste places. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And men shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom Yahweh has indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, Yahweh be magnified beyond the border of Israel. And truly, Yahweh has been magnified beyond the border of Israel. Yahweh is being magnified in America. Yahweh is being magnified in the Philippines. Yahweh is being magnified in Trinidad. Yahweh is being magnified in Africa and in India. Verse 6, it says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my fear? Says Yahweh of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, in what way have we polluted you? And that you say the table of Yahweh is contemptible. Now you think about the Jewish people. You think back to those that had the oracle of Yahweh. And they put away his name. They stopped using it. And they started calling on Yahweh. They started calling on Hashem. See? They polluted the offering of Yahweh. Now when you think back to the Jewish people, you think of all the societies the Jews have been driven. Israel and the Jewish people have been driven. Now, one of the things you'll learn about those people, though, that still have the covenant, they still keep the Sabbath, they still keep the feast. Have they been blessed? And this world's good, yes, they have. There are a lot of spiritual people out here. And Yahweh's going to turn them back to Him. You have offered polluted bread on my altar, and you say, in what way have we polluted you? In that you say the table of Yahweh is contemptible. And when you offer the blind for sacrifice, it is no evil. And when you offer the lame and sick, it is no evil. Present it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Or will he accept your person? Says Yahweh of hosts, and now I pray you, entreat the favor of El, that he may be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he accept any of your persons, says Yahweh of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you that would shut the doors, that you might not kindle a fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says Yahweh of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. See? The Jews put it aside. It's a ban. They're not using the name of Yahweh. It's too holy. But guess what? It's going to be great among the Gentiles because it's being taught throughout the world. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the Gentiles, says Yahweh of hosts. But you profane it in that you say the table of Yahweh is polluted, and the fruit of it, even its food, is contemptible. But we know that Yahweh has given us peaceable fruit because our offspring, our children, are being raised in the name of Yahweh. They're being taught in the covenant of Almighty Yahweh. You say also, behold, what a weariness it is, and you have snuffed at it, says Yahweh of hosts, and you have brought that which was taken by violence, and the lame and the sick, thus you bring the offering. Should I accept this at your hand, says Yahweh? But cursed be the deceiver. And we know who that is. Yes, Satan the devil, who has in his flock a male and vows, and sacrifices unto Yahweh a blemished thing. For I am a great king, says Yahweh of hosts, and my name is terrible among the Gentiles. Has it been terrible among the Gentiles all these years in the past? No. This is a new thing. This is something that's coming, you know. I mean, his name has been magnified since we've been in the Sacred Name movement. Yahweh's name is really being promoted. And this is why we should give our best at all times to Almighty Yahweh, so that we're not like those other people who have polluted the sacrifice of Yahweh. Psalm 127. We're going to read Psalm 127 and 128. It says, except Yahweh builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except Yahweh keeps the city, the watchman awakes, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of toil, for so he gives to his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. He tells us back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you don't have to turn there, and the blessings and the curses, that you're going to be blessed in the fruit of your body. Your children are going to be a blessing to you. It says, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate. And then Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that fears Yahweh, that walks in his ways. You shall eat of the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fears Yahweh. And this is what we are. We are blessed because we fear Yahweh. Yahweh shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And you shall see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. We're going to be able to see our grandchildren. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, we'll start in verse 9. In this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, let your hands be strong, you that hear in these days the words from the mouth of the prophets that were in the day that the foundation of the house of Yahweh of hosts was laid, even the temple, that it might be built. Our temple, the foundation, is Yahshua the Messiah. And we're building blocks in that temple, each and every one of us that has Yahweh's Holy Spirit. And we should be growing in that spirit. For those days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the adversary. For I set all men, every one against his neighbor. But now I will not be to the remnant of this people as in the former days, says Yahweh of hosts. For there shall be the seed of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things. And it shall come to pass that, as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, as I thought to do evil to you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says Yahweh of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things that you shall do. Speak you every man the truth with his neighbor. See? You got to tell everyone the truth. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you devise evil in your hearts against your neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says Yahweh. And that's what he wants. He wants us to teach the truth to each of our neighbors. He wants that covenant of peace to be a part of our lives. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, starting verse 9. Speaking of Yahshua, speaking of truth. It says, there was the true light, even the light which lights every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and they that were his own received him not. This is the one that created all things. Yahshua the Messiah, who is Yahweh of the Old Testament. But as many as received him, to him, them gave he the right to become the children of Yahweh. Excuse me. He gave them the right to become the children of Yahweh. Even to them that believe on his name, who were begotten, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yahweh. And the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Turn back to Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 18. Zechariah 8:18, it says, and the word of Yahweh of hosts came to me, saying, in this manner says Yahweh of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore love, truth, and peace. And Yahshua was both truth and peace to his people. In this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come peoples and inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to entreat the favor of Yahweh, and to seek Yahweh of hosts. I will also go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem, and to entreat the favor of Yahweh. In this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nation. A lot of commentators teach that those 10 men are Israel, that they're coming back. And all languages of the nations, they shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, Yahudim, one who praises Yahweh, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you. Why is Elohim with those who are the worshipers of Yahweh? Because they are worshiping Yahweh. Because Yahweh is their mighty block. See? It's not talking about the physical people who consider themselves to be Jews. Because they're not worshiping Yahweh. They worship Adonai and Hashem. It's important for us to understand that Yahweh is blessing a group of people in these last days with peaceable fruit. Ezekiel chapter 18. Starting in verse 4, it says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. But if a man is just and does that which is lawful and right, and has not eaten upon the mountains, neither lifted up his eyes upon the idols of the house of Israel, neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a woman in her impurity, and has not wronged any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has taken nothing by robbery, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. He has not given forth upon interest, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true justice between man and man, has walked in my statutes, and has kept my ordinances to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, says the sovereign Yahweh. See? It's just the opposite of those who are lying in wait for blood. He's trying to do the covenant. He's trying to fulfill the commandments of Almighty Yahweh by giving his bread to the hungry, by clothing him who is naked. He's not trying to take anything by robbery. In verse 10 it says, if he procreates a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, one of those gangbangers, that does any one of these things, and that does not lay of those duties, but even has eaten upon the mountains, idolatry. When they've eaten upon the mountains, they've gone up to those pagan temples. That's what it's talking about, eating upon the mountains. And defiled his neighbor's wife. David did that. King David has wronged the poor and the needy, has taken by robbery. He has not restored the pledge, and has lifted up his eyes to the idols, and has committed abomination. Has given forth upon interest and taken increase. Shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, in verse 14, if he procreates a son that sees all his father's sins, which he has done, this is the grandson, which he has done, and fears and does not such like, that he has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, has not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has wronged any, and has not taken anything to pledge, neither has taken by robbery, but has given his bread to the hungry and has covered the naked with the garments, that has withdrawn his hand from off the poor, that has not received interest nor increase, has executed my ordinances, has walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother, and did that which was not good among his people, behold, he shall die in his sin. Yet you say in verse 19, Why does not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father when the Son has done that which is lawful and right and has kept all my statutes and has done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sins, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked, in verse 21, turns from all his sins which he has committed, if he repents and keeps all my statutes and does that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his transgressions that he has committed shall be remembered against him. And his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the sovereign Yahweh, and not rather that he should return from his way and live. But when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live. None of his righteous deeds that he has done shall be remembered. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. So our job is to turn people from their sin so that they will be peaceable fruit of Almighty Yahweh and not the other way around. Have people turn from their righteousness. John chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 47. The first part of the chapter is about Lazarus dying. And he was very close to Yahshua. And obviously this affected a lot of people because a lot of people were there, even the heads of the Jews. And in verse 47, it says, the chief priest, therefore, and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what do we? For this man does many signs. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had been dead for several days. This is where the passage where Yahshua wept. See? And verse 36, the Jews therefore said, behold, how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of him that was blind have caused that this man also should not die? And in verse 40, Yahshua says to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you should see the glory of Yahweh? And they took away the stone, and Yahshua lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I knew that you hear me always, but because of the multitude that stands around, I said it, that they may believe that you did send me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Yahshua said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, back to 47. The chief priests, therefore, and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what do we? For this man does many signs. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all. Nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, for the nation, and that the whole nation perish not. Now that this he said not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Joshua should die in the nation. See? And not for the nation only, but that he might also gather together into one the children of Elohim that are scattered abroad. So from that day forth, they took counsel that they might put him to death. They had their own personal thing going on there. But they knew that they had to kill him, because they wanted him to die for the nation so that that would bring all the Jewish people together. See, that's an ulterior motive there. But you know that it was of Yahweh. Verse 54. Joshua therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but departed from there into the country near the wilderness, into the city called Ephraim. There he stayed with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. They sought therefore Joshua and spoke one with another as they stood in the temple. What do you think? That he will not come to the feast? Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it, that they might take him. See, whenever he passes it like this, I think back on where we came from, you know, and some of the things that were brought in, you know, some of the things that happened with a lot of the brethren. And it's amazing that we couldn't see how closely related, even though he talked about the Pharisees and the scribes, how often they did the same thing in trying to consume some of Yahweh's people. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 12. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if you put the deeds of the body to death, by the Spirit you shall live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, these are the sons of Elohim. Now, Caiaphas was just talking about the children of Elohim. He was speaking of the Jewish people. Reuniting them through the death of one man, Yahshua the Messiah. And he was prophesying. It was truly of Yahweh, because this is what Yahweh designed, that one man would die for his nation, for his people. Verse 15, for if you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of Elohim, and if children, then heirs, heirs of Yahweh, and joint heirs with the Messiah, if so be that we suffer with him, and that we may also be glorified with him. For I reckon the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed toward us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. And this is going to happen very soon, brethren, that we're revealed to the world. You think about it. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of Elohim. Jacob chapter 3, or James chapter 3. starting in verse 18. I mean 13. Jacob 3:13-18. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and factions in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is not a wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every vile deed. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace." And this is what Yahweh is looking for, peaceable fruit. He wants people that love one another. He wants people that care for one another. He don't want people bickering back and forth. You know, that's something that really blows me away the more and more you think about it. The more and more you think about all the tribulations we had to go through to get where we are today. You know, and Yahweh obviously wanted us to go through it. He wanted us to gain that understanding so that we know the difference between peace and chaos and corruption. Just because you have the name of Yahweh doesn't mean you're his people. See, that love of Yahweh has to be there as well. That peaceable fruit has to be a part of your life. You have to want the best for your brethren. You're not out there to tear one another down and to go forth to the leadership. Oh, so-and-so is doing this and that. You know, trying to get people in trouble to make yourself look good. That's of the devil. That's not of Yahweh. You're trying to tear somebody else down so you can build yourself up. But are you building yourself up in the eyes of Yahweh? No. Just man. And too often, people think they're gaining something. But they're not. They're showing them their true selves, who they are. Philippians chapter 2. We have an example. And it talks about that in Philippians 2, the type of example that we have in the Messiah. It says, "If there is therefore any exhortation in the Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting the other better than himself." Not each tearing down the other faster than you can get torn down. It's not a war here, at least not against each other. The war is against the evil one. And how we overcome that evil one is through love, brethren. Through peaceable fruit, which Yahweh is giving to the children of Elohim. Verse 4, it says, "Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of other. Have this mind in you, which was also in the Messiah Yahshua, who existing in the form of Elohim, count it not on the being an equality of Yahweh a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to death, yes, the death of the torture stake. Therefore also Yahweh highly exalted him and gave to him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Yahshua every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yahshua the Messiah is Master, to the glory of Yahweh the Father." And guess what? Caiaphas and the rest of the crew didn't do that. They knew he was the Messiah, but guess what? Kill him anyway. They were fulfilling prophecy, even though they probably didn't think about it. They were trying to dissolve what was being built. But what happened? It just continually grew. It grew even more and more as they killed more and more of the true worshipers. Verse 12, so then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Yahweh who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and questionings, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of Elohim, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, for my exaltation in the day of the Messiah, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yes, and I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. I joy and rejoice with you all. And in the same manner, do you also joy and rejoice with me. But I hope in the Savior Yahshua to send Timothy shortly to you, that I may be also, that I also be of good comfort when I know you, your state. For I have no man like-minded who will care truly for your state, for they all seek their own. And that's the way of the world today. Everybody's seeking their own, not the things of Yahshua the Messiah. But you know the proof of him, that as a child serves the father, so he served me in the furtherance of the good tidings. So he's speaking highly of Timothy. He's speaking very highly of Timothy. And we have to be that way as well, brethren. Because this is what yields peaceable fruit. Those who are seeking to serve Yahweh, regardless of the circumstances or the situation. In Job chapter 40, verse 8. Job 40, verse 8. Yahweh was speaking to Job and said, will you even annul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be justified? And this is what happens too often with us, brethren. We are condemning Yahweh and his words. We can justify ourselves so we can build ourselves up. Or have you an arm like El? And can you thunder with a voice like him? No, we can't. Will you annul Yahweh's judgment? Will you condemn Yahweh that you may be justified? I hope the answer is no, brother. Because Yahweh is looking for a people who are willing to overcome this world and yield some peaceable fruit. That fruit is going to permeate this world. For our closing passage, turn to Psalm 72. Psalm 72, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, give the king your judgments, O Elohim, and your righteousness to the king's son. We are children of the Elohim. All of us are the king's sons and daughters. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. They're speaking of Yahshua the Messiah. And truly, he is ruling his people. He's leading. The mountains shall bring peace to the people. The mountains represent the government of Yahweh. And the hills in righteousness. Peace to the people in the hills in righteousness. He will judge the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy. He will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you while the sun endures, and so long as the moon throughout all generations. He will come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers upon the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace, till the moon shall be no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarsus and the isle shall render tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yet all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. All nations aren't serving Yahweh yet, but it's going to happen. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, and the poor that has no helper. He will have pity on the poor and needy, and the souls of the needy he will save. He will redeem their soul from oppression and violence, and precious will be their blood, be in his sight. They shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba, and men shall pray for him continually. They shall bless him all the day long. There shall be an abundance of grain in the earth upon the top of the mountain. The fruit of it shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him happy. Blessed be Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, have ended. Almighty Yahweh is looking for peaceable fruit. He's looking for people who will yield to the covenant and keep the commandments of Almighty Yahweh each and every day of their life. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you serve him with one consent, and that each one of us would be sincere in doing Yahweh's covenant. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Willie McKelvey to come close with a word of prayer.
Let's go pause on this. Seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, we give Yahweh thanks and praise for an opportunity to gather here with brothers of like precious faith. Father, we're so glad to be in your presence. We are glad that you have protected us and brought us here safely to learn more of you, Father. Strengthen your people as we soon have to enter back out into the world, Father. Help us keep our eyes on the prize. Help us to live in the world, but to be up and have less of it in our lives. Father, we have a lot of work to do. It's a small organization, Father. We ask that you put your protection around it, Father, and keep us dedicated to do this great work, Father. We have been purged to a small organization, Father, but the nucleus of this organization is real tight, and we got one goal in mind, Father, to do your will and your work. And as we build and grow, keep Satan at bay, that we will not have jealousy, envy, and conceit among us, that we will have peace and be a peaceful people, and a loving people, and a dedicated people to do your will, Father. You have been so good to us that you've given us peace. You, when our loved ones are down, we have peace that you will bring them through. And Father, bless your people wherever they are gathered. In your son's name, Yahshua, we give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah. For our closing song, mm-hmm.